Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed.
I'm talking about the Seraphonician.
I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over
Jesus.
The line. The decision has been made.
Jesus,
I'm a
Father
disciple
of,
His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, endured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Hesitate in the presence of my adversaries. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, thought up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us today. It is Monday, 26 April, 2021. We're going to have a good time in God's holy word tonight. A good time. Another one of these day in the life of Jesus. A day in the life of Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. It's pretty astonishing, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be a good teaching.
Amen.
So we always want to talk when we first get on here. So you guys on Blog Talk Radio got to figure out how to say something to us. Probably through an email or something. But wherever you are around the world, we welcome you to contact us. We would like to know who you are and where you're streaming from. Just send us a email, a message, something. You can even use our, if you still are snail mail person, you can even send it through the mail. The address and everything is right in the details of the program, and we just welcome you because we love to know where people are listening to us at. And if you have a question about your Christian life, about Christianity, about what's going on, ask it, because that's what it takes in all of our Christian lives, is all of us just asking the question, where are we at and what's going on? So, welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you with us here tonight. I think it's time now to go live to Facebook. There it is.
You're showing live?
No.
Oh. I thought you said there it is.
Seriously. Isn't that something?
What?
Had it all set up? And when I clicked it, it said this page is not available.
Becca Chapman just liked it.
Huh?
Becca Chapman just liked it. So somebody can see it. Yes, it's Anna J. Connell.
No, she just liked the page.
Oh.
It totally wiped it out. I gotta rebuild it. All right. There's a notification. Good evening, Shannon. Good to have you with us there. We got a... Good evening, Kelly Dalker. We had that technology stare going. Don't worry about it. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And it doesn't have anything to do with God, except that we're calling upon God to help. In the name of Jesus. Robert Mulderman, welcome. Good to have you with us. Once again.
It is so good to see you back.
Good to see everybody.
Hopefully life is settling down a little bit for you guys now, huh? Hopefully.
Nothing like a move.
To mess things up.
There's nothing like a move to test your sanctification.
Yeah, that's true.
Good evening from Becca and the grandbabies. Brother Dane Cottle's with us. Good to have you with us. Good to have Sister Gwen with us this afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
Powerful statement she made. Don't let the devil do your talking for you. Jack Nowak is here.
Hey. Hello, hello.
I'm here, Sam. So sorry. What are you sorry about, brother? Listen, there's way too many sorry people in this world for you to be sorry. You're awesome and a blessing. It's good to see you, brother. Good to have you here tonight. What's happening in the beautiful state of Arizona? So sorry. I think that was going to somebody else.
Well, maybe.
Maybe he was talking about the technology. If you're talking about technology, Jeff, I have learned not to punch my screen because it doesn't have anything to do with the screen. I miss you too, man. We all miss you. We pray for you every single day, man. We pray for you. Oh, you're in Michigan. How long are you going to be there? Yeah. No wonder you're on. It's cold. It's like, oh, my Lord. I was watching the weather in Michigan today, and you guys got snow. Hopefully it put that fire out.
Wow. Did everybody get the whole state?
I know my son was sent some pictures of the fire that was in Skoda, and I've been, oh, no, that ain't no good. I hadn't seen that yet, Jeff. I've not been on tonight. I've not been on Facebook much today. Wow. Well, let's pray for the Nowak family. Never a good day. Pray for Jeff and Kelly. Father, beyond anything our human hearts and minds and mouths can say, we reach up into heaven today because you taught us, Jesus, to say, thy kingdom come to this earth. And Jeff and Kelly and the whole family need you and your strength today. The word of God states that you are a man of sorrows and you're acquainted with grief, and that you bore our griefs and you carried our sorrows. Now, on this day, right out of Isaiah 61, you said, save me, the healing balm of Gilead, and that we could get beauty for ashes. We could help deal with the mourning and the grieving heart. Lord, I don't know how you do it. I don't know. But we know you do. And every family member now, every friend who on this day and from this day forward will miss Elaine, in the mighty name of Jesus, We speak life to this family. We speak life to this family. You came that we might have life and life more abundantly. We draw on that anointing from heaven now for our brother and sister. Give them strength and give them courage. Give them help. And right here, right now, tonight, on this day, the healing love of the community of faith wraps around Jeff and Kelly and their whole family.
Yeah.
Everyone that's connected. With the love of God. With the mercy of God. And with the strength that only comes from heaven. Father, I declare over Jeff a supernatural strength that he may not ever even knew is in him or around him, but we declare that supernatural strength for him right here, right now, today. Lord, I bind the spirit of grief. You foul spirit, you cannot destroy. You cannot take away. So even though our hearts are broken, even though the longing of our heart for our loved ones, we bind this spirit of grief. You can't be there. You will not be there. We declare the joy of her life that she lived will come out in these days, and that supernatural strength from heaven will come upon these in Jesus' name. We know what it's like, Jesus. All of us have somebody on the other side that we would just as soon they were with us, just as soon. And now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak that life to Jeff and Kelly. May their words be filled with faith and love to everyone they talk to. And the strength, the stability of Almighty God that lives inside of them. Be a blessing. Be a strength. Be a help to everyone involved. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I will, I'll be in contact with you, talk some more outside of here in the community of faith, but you guys are in our prayers very much so from now. Well, you're in our prayers every single day, you guys are. And how long do you think you'll be in Michigan? All right, let's talk, man. I'll talk to you. And that's who I am. That's who I will always be. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the other day, Jeff, there was a meteor shower here in North Dakota, and I was standing out in a wheat field outside of town. I've never believed this too much, but I just looked up at the sky and said, well, Dad, you and Grandpa Cottle, Grandpa Meinhard, Uncle Paul, Uncle Stan, all y'all that's up there, How about you come out and give us a show tonight? I'm not joking. Within about 45 seconds, man, the stars were dancing all over above me. There's three shooting stars just went. Whoosh, whoosh. You want them with us? You know they're in a better place.
And we're all going to be with them soon.
And we'll be with them soon. And we'll be with them soon. You know, for everybody else that's in the community of faith family, I so appreciate you supporting Jeff and Kelly and expressing your condolence. And then letting us have this time to minister to them. You guys are just an amazing family. I don't like it when they go home. I want them to stay with me, brother. I do. I want them to stay with me.
And you're out there going, if you could see. <over there.
laughs> And then like Leanne said, if you're up there, they're up there saying, if you could just see what I see. In Jesus' name. Well, we're usually done about 11 Eastern. If you're still awake, give us a call. I know you probably got lots happening there. Or I'll call you if you're going to still be awake. Of course, you're probably on a different time zone. She went quick. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. You don't even know whether to shake your head yes or no. Or it's like, wow. Wow. God will empower you, man. God has empowered you. And you don't want to ever have to say, well, it's my turn to stand up and be me now. But what do you do? Every prayer I prayed for my dad to be here was heard in heaven and helped me be here as many days as he was. And then that day came to cross over to the other side.
Isn't that just something? You said his name yesterday, just yesterday. Was it this morning?
That was last night, yesterday. It was last night, or it must have been. Maybe it was Saturday night. I said, hey, Jeff and Kelly, we miss you.
Just talking in the house.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I wish I had my jet fuel. I'd just jump in it and fly to Michigan and see you. Somebody said, Pastor, you got a jet? I have one in the spirit. I don't have one in a hangar out here, but I've got one already nailed down in the spirit. I guarantee you that. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Wow. Wow. I'm really, really glad you came on here. Listen, let me say this to everybody in the community of faith family, whether you're here live with us right now or you see this in the future. Please, if you're sick, call us. I know God shows me some amazing things, but he doesn't show me everything. And if I don't know you're sick, I can't pray. And if you have this situation, don't hesitate to call him. Mm-hmm. Please. Come on here and say something so that we can be a part of it, like just like Jeff and Kelly have done tonight, so that we can be that strength. Those of you that are new, Jeff and Kelly was part of the founding members here that built this thing to what it is today. And I've known Jeff now for years. Met him at the funeral of a fallen soldier. And We're just cut of the same cloth. We haven't always been close buddy friends every single day, but it doesn't matter. This is what family's all about right here. This is what brothers are about. This is what it's all about. And so I just want to make sure everybody knows. I'll say it again. No matter what, it doesn't matter. You might say, Pastor, I'm always giving you a prayer request. Well, if you need prayer always, then you better be giving a prayer request, because I don't want to be on the other side. I want to be on this side, standing in faith in Jesus' mighty name. I've come to the conclusion, Jeff, the only way I can see my West Coast friends and my East Coast friends is a jet. You can't drive all that many miles. You'd be wore out, man. If you had a Mercedes-Benz four-wheel drive truck jacked up and stretched out, it wouldn't matter. Still going to show up wore out. In the mighty name of Jesus. Wow. Thanks for coming on, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's been up for a while. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I must not check it.
Those of you that's on YouTube, wave at Sister Leanne so she can see it.
Yep,
and we welcome you, those of you that's on Blog Talk Radio, and then we got YouTube happening, YouTube Live and Facebook Live, and anywhere else that somebody throws this, glory be to God.
Chris and Sunday are there. Hi,
Chris and Sunday. Good evening, guys. Good to have you. Anybody else? Velma, I missed you. Becca, Mary Pastorek, welcome. Good to have you guys with us. Jeff and Kelly, wow. How long you guys think you're going to be in Michigan, Jeff? I guess I can find all that out when I call you. Let's rise together, and we'll get started here and honor the troops, have a moment of silence, and then we're going to get right in. I think we're going to have communion first. After we honor the troops, we'll receive communion first tonight. I'm being led that way now, so here we go. Rise together with me. Render your honor. Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, and those today who bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of the families that have stood beside them for all these years, and for those that have raised their hand at one time and swore to protect and defend this great Constitution. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, join me in singing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America. my home sweet home.
We'll pray for America in just a minute, and then we'll receive communion. I haven't said this in a while, but I want to say this tonight. These are the papers that are laying behind me on that little stand in front of that folded flag. And if you weren't here the last time I talked about it, I want to say something because I don't just have a stack of papers sitting around in front of an honorable situation. My dear friend Mike Welch, who the folded flag is in honor of his brother, kept a record of every one of the Patriot Guard missions that went on. One day I asked him, because I was on most of these with him, I asked him if I could have a record of it. And he went and made me a copy of it. And in honor of his selfless service in the Patriot Guard Riders, and Brother Mike's a pretty amazing guy, I've kept these with his brother's folded flag. His brother, Chief Warrant Officer Kenneth V. Welch, was killed in the bombing of the embassy in Beirut. Everything on my stand right there is very honorable. And the coin on this side is in honor of the day that Jerusalem was made the capital of Israel. And so I just thought I'd say that in just case you was ever wondering, man, what are those papers? They don't ever seem to move. I wonder why Pastor just leaves some papers laying around. don't ask Sister Leanne if I have papers laying around anywhere. There's only like three. Let's pray. God and Father of every brave warrior down through American history, as we do every time we come, we stand in the gap. We make up the hedge, and we do our duty as American citizens to protect and defend this nation and the Constitution that makes it so. Now, Father, you know better than we do all the places where the Constitution is weak. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, they're removed, they're purged, and our Constitution becomes stronger than it has ever been in the history of the United States of America. Corruption is removed. Patriotism is brought back. The love for this nation is instilled in every child. We turn from our sins and our idols, and we seek your face. And you said, you'd hear us in heaven. Of course, this is the New Testament. You live on the inside. And you see our consecration level every day. Thank you, Lord, that all across this nation, there's 80 million patriots that have all stood together and say, God bless America, and we want our morals back. And we want our nation to be what it was designed to be. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And on this night and every night, we declare, help us, we the people, to stand together in unity so the commanded blessing of God rests upon us. So the commanded blessing of God rests upon our ministries, our churches, our businesses, because we are focused on great is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we name you Lord here, Jesus. Father, we pray for every politician that has stood up and said, I am righteous and I am going to make a difference in the United States of America. May their voice be bold, may their stance be strong, and may the corrupt and the wicked and the lovers of the isms run in fear of them. Because the righteous are as bold as a lion in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you, Father, that you deliver all of us from foolish and ignorant men.
Yes.
May foolish and ignorant men be standing by themselves, very evident who they are, and no one being around them. We make that declaration you gave us earlier this year. Get away from the tents of wickedness. May every innocent person run and be away from them, Lord. Thank you for the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch of our government. You set it up. It's right in the book of Isaiah. You are the lawgiver. You are the judge. And you are our King, Jesus. And we make that declaration again tonight. And we thank you for the liberty and the justice that it provides for every single one of us. Bless every one of our protectors, every defender, every officer of the peace, all of our military who tonight stand in between us and harm and wickedness coming from around the world. And we declare, you better not just be afraid of them. Be afraid of us, because we walk with our God and we know who he is, and he is protecting us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless now. Pray that we'll make our declarations to the isms and against them. If you will stand with me right now. And I got the isms. Here we go. Make this declaration with us. To all the isms, it is impossible to destroy the United States of America. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God, and we are rebuilding every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. And we declare that every weapon you have formed against us comes back on you, and every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. It's in the comments. You can pray it with us. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God, experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today, and this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedoms. Holy light, protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, this is new, but I am being instructed to pray the Lord's Prayer when we're finished. Everyone here knows it. We pray it every day. So pray it with us tonight as we are our final closing prayer for the troops. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and trespasses, as we forgive those who are indebted and trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And I thank you for standing with us every day for the United States of America. Regardless of what you think the last 6 months has produced in this nation, do not be one of those who surrenders to the confusion and just says, oh, well, it's all over. It is not all over. Our God is not done, and America is not done. There's not as many people who think what these fools think as what they want to think, make you think there are. So stand in faith with us every day. The more of us that stand in faith and agreement, the more that enemy is completely held captive. And you know what? If they want to do something stupid in Washington, D.C., and every state stands against them, that's the beautiful part of this constitutional republic, is we got checks and balances, and we'll shut you down. And I've been saying it since it started. No wicked executive orders prosper. Say it with us. No wicked executive orders prosper. I say every bit of that money that they're just making, when it gets to the office, nothing works and it can't go through. May bank accounts fail. May business part things fail so that does not go through. You're going to tell me God put his hand in and wrote on a wall one day. And if God can write on a wall, he can stop a bunch of accounts and make things just go crazy. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that every ship of oil trying to come from a foreign nation and not use ours gets stopped and can't get through. Say it with me. There's no reason that Americans are not working and taking care of us. And God is the one that controls the seas and the airlines in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Woo-hoo! We should pray for Canada. They're shut down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters all over the world. They're in the middle of a bunch of stupidity in their government. The stupid and put in wicked or put in righteous. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, you might say, Pastor, you sound like you got a little bit of edge tonight. Well, I'm just done with stupid. When we have so many intelligent people, when we have so many intelligent people in this nation, stupid people doing stupid thing is ridiculous. And our God knows it bigger than we do. And you and I need to say, Father, take this thing in your hand. We take it out of ours and give it to you. It is time to receive communion so we can get this thing moving in the right direction. I am an American to the core, but I'm also a pastor and I have a program to run. So we'll put America on the back burner. Brother Mike, if you're on there to tell that testimony, man, shoot me a text or something so I can see that. If it's just there for just the, so you got good signal, then I understand that too. But if you'll shoot me a text, I'll be able to see that. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23 for our communion elements tonight. For I receive from the Lord. I love communion. Don't you love this?
Mm-hmm.
Say it. Thank God for new covenant worship. Thank you, Lord. We receive this tonight in all of its power in our lives, Jesus. Not just bread and juice, but your very broken body and your very blood shed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we speak it now in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Verse 23. Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread." Isn't that something? When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 25. "In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Drink it in remembrance of me.'" 25, 26. "For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes." Verse 28. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread of the cup." Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 5, verse number 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 18. "There is no fear in love." Say it again. "There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it." Why do you read that verse with the communion, Pastor? Because there's no fear in the communion elements. I know for years, there's many in the church, and that's the first verse they preach is, "Don't you take this the wrong way, or you'll die early and drink damnation to yourself." Well, those verses are in the Bible for the wicked, the perverse, and those playing some spiritual game, but that's not any of you. And I'm not going to teach you to be that way. So the only thing I need to teach anybody ever about communion is verse 28. "A man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The greatest answer for anybody in communion is examine yourself. If you feel like you're winning, glory. If you feel like you're not winning, receive communion. Why? It's the greatest power that you can find. And you're going to start out by examining your heart and knowing you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's why we receive communion the way we do it here. I saw somebody again this weekend receive communion and in about 1 minute and 30 seconds. And it's like, no, put some time into it. This is one of the greatest powers you'll ever find in your life. It's why we put it on the website, so that you can learn to share it with your family at home and lead them there. Wonderful, broken body and the blood of Jesus. in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we always are going to open it up and say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer of self-examination, which is you looking at your own life and saying, where am I at, Lord? What do I need to do in my life? That's a prayer of salvation if you've never been made Jesus Lord. That's a prayer of dedication if you've been away from it. And that's the prayer of hallelujah. I belong to the greatest force there is in the whole universe, and that's the body of Christ. Glory be to God tonight. So pray this prayer with me tonight. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area of my life.
In every area of my life.
I know Jesus is the only door.
I know Jesus is the only door.
To salvation.
To salvation.
And according to John chapter 1.
And according to John chapter 1.
When I receive you, Jesus.
When I receive you, Jesus.
And I believe in you, Jesus.
And I believe in you.
You give me the power.
To become a child of God.
And I receive you now.
And I receive you now.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Take all your sin in a big pile and just dump them out. And say, there's all my sin, Jesus.
There's all my sin, Jesus.
I don't have the power to beat it.
I don't have the power to beat it.
Tip your hands over and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Fill in my life right now.
Fill in my life right now.
Just let it wash you. May the manifestation of the cleansing power of your blood be in every person's life right now, Lord. Pray this. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
language. Live a successful life.
Live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome. If it's the 100th time you prayed that prayer, welcome. Most of all, this is what just happened to you. You went from darkness to light. You should have experienced it. You went from fear, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? To faith. Wow, something changed on the inside. You literally went from your sin, which no human has any ability to beat in their own strength. Jesus' righteousness, which now empowers you to overcome everything. And I love this. He made you and adopted you into his family. You are now a member of the family of God. Jesus is your elder brother, and God is your father. That's why everything in here changes, because you're now born of incorruptible seed that fades not away. Now, they put my email address and website in there so that I can be a blessing to you. I got 10 verses I want to send you. Verses that you can study that'll give you a solid foundation in your Christian life. Sister Shannon's always faithful to put in all this, the details of how to get in contact with us. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate that. And others too. All of you that do it, thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. What makes this family powerful. I want to be a blessing to you. Send me an email. Send me a message in my messenger. Don't use the messenger of this page. It just, Facebook did a good job making pages, but they didn't do a good job making the messenger in it. Just That's just my own personal opinion in the middle of communion. I want to be a blessing to you. This is how it works. If you send me an email, I'll send you one. I do not spam you. If you send me another one, I'll reply. I want to be your friend and help you walk with God. We got a big family here, and we can help you learn to walk with God and be solid in your Christian life every day. Thank you for being with us. You're ready to receive communion. Go get some bread and water. Get some Cheez-Its and Gatorade, something. Grab something so you can receive the communion elements with us. It's a blessing to you in your life in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's bless our elements. Pray this with me. Father, I bless these elements.
Father, I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And from the body of Christ in my community.
And from the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the bread together. Jesus. We receive your manifest presence that are on these elements right now tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant.
This is the blood of the new covenant.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus,
every play
has to pass over
and cannot be on me or my
family. By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life.
Is cast down in my life.
And there is no more condemnation.
And there is no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive it. Now, lot of times we sing a song right here. And you know, we've had a lot of miracles lately. And I think that's the song we're going to sing. You do miracles so great. Have we ever found a word? I don't think I've looked either. We just know it. Got word again. We've been praying for a man named Warren Stutzman. He's in the hospital because of COVID. And he was in ICU on a vent, and he's now down to needing only 40% oxygen. Hallelujah. Powerful testimony of the prayers that you and I pray and our faith in Almighty God. His name and faith in his name has made them strong. And if you weren't here on Sister Susie, Susan Siegfried shared with us that the doctors told her there was nothing else they could do for her 2 weeks ago. And it's the prayers of the saints that not only helped her live, but go home. Home and doing well. And we give God glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Brother Chris Timmer, come on and give us a heads up about you. Sister Sherry Gilbert, give us a heads up about you. Brother Warren, if you're on, bless you guys. And we declare perfect, complete healing in your bodies in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Did you find the words? All right, let's sing it. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, you deserve the glory. And honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Don't you just love and who he is in our lives? Every single day in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody, if you want to, just type it in. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name. in Jesus' mighty name. It's good to have you with us tonight. I mean, we got people from all over with us tonight. North Carolina. We got West Virginia. We got Louisiana. We got Michigan, North Dakota, Arizona. We got it all tonight. Texas. Father, right now we pray for this family. In the mighty name of Jesus. The coolest thing about you, Jesus, is you know every single bit of what is going on. You know every bit of it. And I don't, you know, we don't know their names. But Father, in the name of Jesus, the centurion said to you, Jesus, speak the word and my servant will be made whole. In the name of Jesus, we speak, children, in this accident, be made whole. In Jesus' name. We stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. We're in the position of an intercessor. And we declare it right now. Be made whole. Every bone healed, every cell, every tissue, may the doctors have to stand and say, something amazing just happened.
Amen.
We speak Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Infallible proof happened in this hospital tonight for this family in the mighty name of Jesus. They've committed any sins? Declare their sins are forgiven of them and they are not held against them. And healing comes to their life and body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we call it done. You know, this is something. We said today, Leanne and I, that we were going to get hold of Melissa and pray for her. So, Melissa, here you are. Father, we bless Melissa Thorby and her whole family. We don't even know what we were praying for. We were calling to pray. And right now, in Jesus' name, we declare the blessing of the Lord on the Thorsby family in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we put our faith, community of faith, puts our faith with this family for the blessing of the Lord to be there in a mighty, powerful way in whatever it is that they need in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. This is a night, man.
I guess.
We started, we came right out of the jump. We came right out of the chute, just going after it. And that's how this always is. That's why we do what we do. And wow, is God doing something. Now, let me talk about the tent of meeting for a minute. All right? Because I know everybody's saying, Pastor, we haven't had any information lately. What's going on here? Well, when God spoke to me, the city, I said, I'm going to have a confirmation on that. And he gave me one. I said, I'm going to have another one. And he gave me another one. And we started the 5 o'clock prayer, praise and worship time. And we're glad that some of you have been able to join us. The idea behind that is if you're working around your house, getting supper or whatever, there's some worship music you can put there. Turn it on and have our minds focused on God. Give us answers for the tent meeting. Now, I want to encourage you to do something to understand what God's doing in this tent meeting. There's a man who's called, his name is Dutch Sheets. And we've had him on here several times doing things. Thank you for putting that verse in, Shannon. Thank you. a week ago, he put in a program. It's 15 minutes long. His name is Dutch Sheets. Somebody find him on YouTube and put the link in the comments, if you would, please. All right? He talked about the beginning of Giving 15. From that Dutch Sheets program, come forward 6 days. And if you want to understand tent meeting, start at that first and how Giving 15 started, and then watch each of them since then and listen to what the man's saying about revival and the outpouring of God's blessing. All right. On 2 days ago, he talks about an eagle with an arrow and a scroll. And we are a part of that, what God's going to do with this tent of meeting. I need you to put some time in and do this. Now, there's one day where he talks about the election and where he's talking about voting irregularities and stuff. If you want to skip that one, you can. But I'm going to tell you, this is a man who studied revival and the outpourings of God all over the whole world. This man is a serious student of revival. And this vision that a person had and then a gift that was given to him is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to tell you something. We are in that. There's a confirmation in that for what you and I are doing. So I ask you to go ahead and watch those. Study it. You might even want to take some notes. I took this many notes myself. All right? I encourage you to do it. So you can get a picture of what God's doing through the tent of meeting right here with you and me. And about ready to come out with a prayer that everybody can pray and a confession. And now this thing's going to be kicking into gear. You're going to be moving on it in Jesus' mighty name. And those of you that don't live in Michigan, you might not even be able to be there. But you can be there in the spirit. And to the best of our ability, it'll be live on here every night. And you'll be able to be a part of it. There's a powerful tent meetings going on all over the nation right now. And it's like all of a sudden, the tent meeting anointing is back. And somehow we got involved in it by the direction of God. And here we go. It's going to be in Michigan. And it's going to be sometime once the weather's warm enough to be inside a tent.
Yeah.
So please stop having snow. Now, one more statement. We're going to get into the word for tonight. We got a powerful word. For those of you who tithe here, God bless you. Give them 15.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it's an app and it's a YouTube page. Yeah, it's probably got about every kind of platform I got, but I always follow him on YouTube because I can watch it on my smart TV. I like that. Those of you who tithe here to the ministry, thank you. That's a blessing. And everyone that does that, we put our faith with you immediately. God's instructed you to sow a seed here. Let me say something about that. This is kind of an interesting thing to come to me. If God instructs you to sow a seed here or anywhere, there is a blessing connected with it. Now, I know there's a bunch of religious people who say, I just give God what money he asks for, and I don't expect nothing in return. That is not what he expects. He calls it seed, and he says hundredfold return. That's his plan. In every seed he encourages you to sow, there's a blessing connected to it. Now, you might give somebody a suit from your closet and your child be delivered from disease. Pastor, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Why are you saying this? Because some people we'll hear God say, give a seed. And then they're like, I don't know why I'm doing that. You may not know why when you first do it, but all of a sudden God begins to give you revelation about what's going on. And then you know what happens? Then you get a breakthrough and you're like, would you just look at what this is? That's what Brother Mike was sharing with us on Saturday night. It was a powerful testimony. If you didn't hear Mike's testimony, make sure you go back and listen to it, because it's a powerful testimony how God has truly blessed him and Shannon in their lives. And absolutely amazing, miraculous events happened. I wanted Mike to be able to be on tonight and share. He's got another testimony from today flying in the airport. But he said he doesn't have signal at all, and he was on Blog Talk Radio because of that no signal situation. So we declare signal comes to our brother in the mighty name of Jesus. Love, I'm going to have you put that shade down the rest of the way, because I got too much glare here. Thank God for sunshine. Yeah, that's better. Thank you. You know what that means? That means the sun is far north.
Yeah.
Because as it's setting, it's coming in this window, and we haven't had that problem. That's a good thing. We don't have a problem with the sun still being up at 8:20 at night. Have we had the spring forward already? I guess we have, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't like my brother Mike not having signal. Anybody else want to rebuke wherever he's at for not having signal for our brother? You give our brother signal tonight, no matter what, in Jesus' name. So, anyways, I say that to you about the seed, because you never know where God's going to tell you to sow.
Right.
I think, I don't know. It's one of the coolest stories.
God bless you.
It's one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. How God told, how God made all of Mike's credit cards not work. So he would go to the booth at the parking garage and hear the lady talking that she needed money, eavesdropping. And then God said, give her your money. So he gives her $30, and when she counts it, there's $430 there.
Amazing.
Listen, if you not ever had this happen, then get you a 20 and stick it in your pocket. And everywhere you go, say, here I am, Lord, I got a 20. Will you please use me? Why?
Yeah.
Because then you begin to experience some amazing things that God does. And it will really bring a lot of courage and strength to your soul in Jesus' mighty name. Well, isn't that something? I keep trying to get to my notes, and the Father keeps telling me to go over here. So I guess I'm going to just follow the Holy Spirit. I don't guess. I know that's what I'm going to do. Go with me to 2 Kings. There ain't even no sense of heading the other way at all. Second Kings chapter 4. There we go. This is a serious answer for somebody tonight. Welcome YouTube, all of you that are with us there. Blog Talk Radio, God bless you guys. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 8, once you get there, hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I believe what it says.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I go do what it tells me to do.
I go do what it tells me to do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
Today I will be taught the Word of
and
God.
And it is changing my life.
And it is changing my life.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
That is producing.
That is
a hundredfold and more.
A hundredfold and more.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we've been talking a lot about the righteousness of the Lord, God, of Jesus. We'll get it. And if you've not been with us, we got about five messages in a row, which would be January 9th, and then it runs almost to the rest of the month, where we talked about righteousness every night. There's 87 verses with righteousness in it in the New Testament, and we went through all of those verses and just said, what is the doctrine that you're teaching us about righteousness? Letting the Bible give us the answer. Now, we went from that into reconciliation, how God has reconciled us to himself. Isn't that interesting? The word reconcile actually means to change from enmity or an enemy to friendship. That's what reconcile means. That's why they call it reconciliation between a husband and wife that are having marriage problems. You become friends again. And what's the statement they use when people just can't live together anymore? The divorce words they use there. Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no, you can. This is a statement. With the regard to the relationship between God and man, the word reconciliation is what God does so that we can reach back to him, so we can get to him. And he did that with Jesus when he took the veil from the top to the bottom, opened up the Holy of Holies, told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now we come there, and he makes us one in friendship again with him. And what you're going to see right now in this story, in the Old Testament, is God using a woman of God to take care of the prophet of the Lord, and God blessing her in amazing ways. Now watch this. This is actually what I just said about somebody sowing a seed and reaping a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I've got about 50 verses on my notes tonight I was going to do. But I know this is what I'm supposed to be tonight. So somebody take some really good notes, because this is going to really severely be a blessing to you tonight. Here we go. Verse number 8, 2 Kings 4:8. Happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. Just pause for a minute. He's passing through Shunem, and there's a notable woman there that somehow could tell he was a prophet. And you need to stop here and eat some food with us. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat. Nothing wrong with having a good house you can stop and eat at. The verses I had for tonight's a story about Jesus telling the disciples, feed the multitude. They've been with me 3 days and they don't have no food. Them are some hungry folks. Now watch. 9. And she said to her husband, look, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. She could tell he was a prophet of God. And she said, let's make it so that he can be a part, and he has a place. When he gets there, we can feed him, and he has a bed where he can actually rest. That's a pretty nice thing for somebody to do. And she's a notable woman, which means they were probably more affluent. And You know, their lives are blessed, whatever. So, it doesn't say how long it took her to convince her husband. Because I'm sure she wasn't the one out building the room. All right, verse 7. It happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And the prophet, verse 12, said to Gehazi, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. He said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, this is Elisha. Elisha said, call her. When he called her, she stood in the doorway and said, about this time next year, watch this, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Now, when you're talking to a lady who has no son, and in that day having a son was everything, and her husband's old, and the prophet of God sitting there saying that next year you'll have one, this lady said, do not lie to your maidservant. The woman conceived and bore a son. When the appointed time had come of which Elijah told her, 18, and the child grew. It happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers and said to his father, my head, my head. And he said, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat her on his knees until noon. And then he died. You might say, Pastor, what are you reading to us tonight? Well, by the instruction of the Father here, by the Holy Spirit, I'm reading this story because this is an answer for somebody tonight. Somebody here tonight, God has been speaking to you about sowing a seed like the Shunammite lady. How do you know, Pastor? Well, because I'm trying to get to those verses over there, and the Holy Spirit won't let me off of this. And during communion, he said to say this. Now, you mean I can give money and I can get a child? Listen to the statement so we get it right. I don't want anybody confused. She didn't give money. She gave a staircase, an up room, a bed, and a lamp. Isn't this just interesting? Wow. Well, let's just go then. Mark, what's that? And she got me. Mark 10:29. Look at this. This is the New Testament. That's Old Testament. This is New Testament. And we're going to run it through us and watch what happens here. Because this is what I see. God has been speaking to somebody to sow some kind of gift, a seed. You might not understand the word seed. The word you understand, it seems, is somebody's hearing the word gift. In the kingdom, it's called seed. You sow a seed into the kingdom of God, and it produces a harvest for you. Now watch it. Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, what did she give? She gave housing, right?
Yep.
Brothers, sisters, mothers, these two verses right here are for every veteran. Because you gave up our daily life and provided liberty and justice and freedom for all of us. You gave up your life for 2, 3, 4, 8, whatever your time in the service was for that period of time. And when you did it specifically to provide freedom for us.
Yes.
That means what's coming back to you is liberty, justice, and freedom into your day life. Say it. I provided freedom. My life is free. Now watch. You'll receive a hundredfold return. Well, let's go back here and look at this. Look at 2 Kings 4, verse 10. She said to her husband, please let us make an upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed there for him, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. Did she receive a hundredfold return of beds? No.
No. She got a hotel.
She got a hotel. Did she receive a hundredfold of lamps? No. Of upper rooms? No. She didn't even realize that she was sowing a seed for a son. What was she doing? She said, that's a man of God. And God said to her, take care of that man of God. And what was she doing? He came by and she said, you're a man of God. Why don't you eat supper with us? So the first gift she gave was food. And every man of God likes food. And if you're an American preacher, you like chicken. Not necessarily because you like chicken, but because that's what you get served a lot. But then you get down here in verse 16, and the man of God prophesies you're going to receive this. Now, it's interesting tonight. I don't have any more tonight on what it is you're believing for. I can tell this is going to help somebody tonight. God's been saying, sow that seed, and you're being like, oh, well, what was it? Dr. Barclay was preaching this message, and we sowed that night for the Shunammite seed.
Oh, yeah.
For the books to open up.
Yeah. Yes,
we
did.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so maybe this message isn't for any of you after all. Might be just for me. I'm not getting any comments again.
Rebecca's was the last one putting the verses in.
All right. Wow. All right, well, we'll just say it. We'll tell you our seed, so. It's not alms. Alms is the one you got to keep quiet. That's really interesting. That was in like October of 2019. October of 2000. Well, it wouldn't have been October. It would have been December or.
No, it was in October.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. I believe so.
Anyways, Dr. Barclay is preaching this very thing right here. We're seeing it right out here on this couch, right out there on this side of this wall. All right? And I think it was leadership of 2019. Anyways, watch this. That is very interesting. And he's talking, and we both get it in our spirit to sow for God, you know, to help us be in the ministry where we're supposed to be. We can see it's coming. And he gave us a specific figure, which to us is substantial.
It
was like empty the account, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Just about.
It was just about empty the account. And we both looked at each other like, wow, all right, let's do it. We had faith. Boom, let's get it done.
And we were so excited once we did it.
And all y'all are the result of that seed. Isn't that something?
Wow, I just forgot.
She forgot, I didn't. I've been remembering all along. I don't know why she's so surprised right now.
Well, I remember telling you, and I remember naming it. I just hadn't been, hadn't kept it in my the forefront of my thoughts.
I'm still on the chicken. Grandma always made stew, chili or something along that line. Still on the chicken. Becca, when we're done tonight, remind me to send you a video. I've got a video to tell you about preachers, people making food for preachers. It is very fun.
God bless you.
Yeah, we're glad you're here, Becca. You're a blessing to us. Every email you send or whatever, it just is an amazing encouragement. Wow. All right. So guess what? You guys are just here tonight, and we're kind of talking about us. No, but look at this. Look at this. This is the result of that seed we sowed. And the seed, we didn't know. We had no idea what it was. We just heard him say, do it. Pastor was taking a Shunammite offering. He calls it a Shunammite offering. That's what he calls it. I think one of the coolest stories he's got from it is he was at a conference somewhere, and it was one of the first times that he ever heard of the Shunammite rule. I mean, if you've been in the faith movement, they've been preaching the Shunammite offering for probably 70 years, but not from this point of view. And he was done with the conference one night, and he was back at the hotel, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, a knock came on the door, and it was one of the pastors under his leadership. They're like, Pastor, we know it's late, but we've got to talk to you. And he's like, all right, let's talk. What's going on? They look very distressed. They said, we haven't seen our daughter for 3 years. She ran away from home. Nobody's had any contact with her. Nobody knows where she is. He said, we don't know nothing about it. And he said, all night tonight or for whatever period of time, the Holy Spirit has been telling us to sow a seed to you for this purpose. And they're like, have you ever heard of this? And he said, well, I don't know. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit illuminated Dr. Barclay that night or what it was. But anyways, Pastor said, well, sow your seed. I'll put my faith with it. Let's just, you obey God, and I'll obey God. Yeah. I'm a man of God. I'm your pastor. I will receive it. In Jesus' name, you can always receive it. In like 3 hours or 3 days, maybe it was 3 days, I don't know, the girl called her dad and said, Dad, I'm in a mess. I'm in trouble. Kent, I know you don't have any reason to accept me, but will you please let me go home? And he said, if you will stay right where you are, I will be there myself. It was immediate. Yeah. What are you saying, Pastor? If God's telling you to sow a seed, do it. Now, I said Saturday night, God told me to put $259 in my pocket. What is it for? Then I got a whole mess of revelation of what it's for. I know exactly what it's for. And I will be showing you. Because my faith has been out there working. This $259 doesn't make any sense about nothing. It doesn't. This does not make sense. But what it makes is faith. What it makes is faith. Now, of chapter 4 is the lady took off for the prophet when the son died. Oh, let's just read it.
Yeah. That's a good story.
She, 21, 2 Kings 4:21. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. She went up, laid her dead son on the bed of the prophet that said, next year this time you're going to have a son. Can you see faith operating here?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And she said, send me one of the young men and a donkey that I may run to the man of God. Hey, the robins and the sparrows like all this, Shannon. Bless you. That's awesome. 23. The husband said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. She said, all is well. Look at what this mama said in verse 23 to her husband, whose son is laying dead on the prophet's bed. All is well.
All is well.
Why? She going to find a prophet and she going to say, I sowed a seed and I didn't ask for sons here. And buddy, you better move. Watch. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, said to Gehazi, look, it's the Shunammite woman. Run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you, with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, look at this. It is well. Say this with me. Two faith statements. Sometimes, guys, when you say it is well, you are digging it from the very depths of your soul. But I got a word for you. You might as well be speaking faith as speaking doubt. When you start saying, well, it's bad, it's bad, it's really bad, it's bad, 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 and bad. And besides that, it's bad. Well, you can't get bad, you can't get good by speaking bad. So, watch what she says. Yeah, you can't get good by speaking bad. It just doesn't work. Good doesn't come to you when you speak bad. 27, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. Remember I told you that the other day about that young man at the conference grabbing Dr. Barkley right by his feet?
Yeah.
That young man is a mighty man of God today. Man of God said, leave her alone, for her soul's in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. I know I see things, guys, but I don't see it all. I only see what the Holy Spirit shows me. I don't sit around humming. Trying to see things. Just don't do it. 28. She said, did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? He said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. Lay my staff on the face of that child. 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Elisha realizes, I'm going with this lady of my own free will or hog-tied. It don't matter, you know. 31. Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. He went back to meet him in told him, saying, the child is not awakened. As she came into the house, there was the child being dead on his bed. He went in there for her, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, again went up, stretched himself on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. She went in, fell at his feet, bowed the ground, picked up her son, and went home. I agree.
Makes me so happy.
Two very powerful testimonies. Now, I read that verse in Mark on purpose. This is really interesting. Because now I'm searching my soul saying, what seed have you been telling me to sow? And I have no idea what's connected to it, but you've been telling me to sow it. Because the lady didn't know she was getting a son when she sowed the room. She was just being faithful to do what God gave her to do, and that's build a room. Wow, this is interesting tonight.
Yeah, it is.
But I know I'm talking to somebody. I know it. I've seen this happen at different times in my life with different things. That you sow a seed like this. It's one of their favorites. Wow, that's awesome. So, hey, John Wayner's here. You used to come at 10 o'clock, and now you come noon. I love you, John. It's good to see you, buddy. Hope your day went well at work. So, what is this about, Pastor? When God says, sow a seed, there's a harvest connected to it. And you don't want to be a person that says, no, I don't want that harvest, Lord. I just want to sow a seed to you. If he's trying to get a specific harvest that you need in your life to you, miracle. You got to sow the seed. All right, let me see if I got to say that differently. I encourage you to sow the seed. Why? I know people that have given a car away, a house away, and it absolutely made this other situation just... Why? Yeah. It's his system. And everything about God is faith. Go to the notes now.
All right.
Wow. We're going to go to Mark chapter 7. And we got two part. We got two parts we're going to do. Mark 7, 14 through 23. You know where we are, don't you, love? We're back to the beautiful sunset.
We are. We are.
The sun sets.
God is perfect.
Now, here we go. Mark chapter 7. Let's get right into it. Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 23. Wow. 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 Yeah, that's it, Chris. That's Chris. Wait, Chris or Sunday? That was Chris. Mark chapter 7. God's never trying to take something from you. He's always trying to get something to you. This is very interesting because the miracle that we're studying tonight about Jesus reconciling is the miracle of the Syrophoenician woman who Jesus said, I'm not giving you a miracle. He said that to her and called her a dog and then gave her a miracle and said, you got great faith. Don't leave before the night's over. It's going to get exciting. Mark 7, 14. When he had called the multitude to himself. Oh, there was a multitude, and they were rebuking Jesus and his people. And Jesus said, you just soon stick with your traditions, and it destroys your faith. Now we're on to verse 14. Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Say it. It's what's out of my mouth.
What's out of my mouth?
Or watch this. Or out of my fingers as I type.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's your mouth.
Yep.
Some people have finger and mouth disease. Not like this. Anyways. That's what defiles a man. 16. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. That means if you're paying attention in here, pay attention. I'm saying something. It doesn't talking about a hat holder. He's talking about, are you paying attention from the inside out? 17. When he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples said, asking about the parable, he said, are you thus without understanding also? Woo, Jesus. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because this does not enter his heart, but his stomach.
Yeah.
And is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. What goes in is going to go out, but it can't get to the heart. 20. What comes out of a man, that is what defiles a man. From within, the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these things come from within and defile a man. Say this with me. I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
And therefore all of that has been purged.
Amen.
Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. But now get this next part of the story. 24. From there, he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. He could not be hidden. Why did he go there? He was trying to get to some solitude.
Yeah. Need some alone time.
He just rebuked the scribes and Pharisees and told them, what you believe about me is going to take you to hell. Because you make the word of God of no effect by religious tradition. And he said, it isn't what you put in here. It's not what you wash your hand 10 times before you eat. It's what comes up out of here. Now watch. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit about him, heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Not yet, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Look at what Jesus said. Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. Now, I don't know how bright and sharp and perceptible you are, but somebody just got called a dog by Jesus of Nazareth. And she answered him and said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. What did she say? I don't need the whole chunk of bread. Get a crumb. It'll be enough. Look at Jesus. He said to her, for this saying. What saying? Yeah, but even the children, even the little dogs get the crumbs. What? For this thing, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she came to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Wait a minute. Neither Jesus nor the mama was with the daughter. Jesus spoke the word based on mom's faith when he called her a dog and said, I'm not supposed to be doing this for you right now. And she said, even us dogs get crumbs.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, this lady, not only is she not stopping, she just said, all I got to have is the crumb. I'll be made whole. Now watch. 15. It's the same story, but let's go read it out of Matthew. Now, when we get to 15, this is going to be verses 1 through 30. Matthew 15, 1 through 30. I'm going to read it. Here we go. Hang on to your hat because it's going to get serious. And hopefully in a little bit, Sister Leanne will be able to pop some really beautiful pictures of the sunset for you. Scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. That's what God said. But you say, whoever says to father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect. Because of your religious tradition. That religious tradition that says, well, I don't have to ask God for anything. I just want to give him a seed. I just love him and I just want to do good to him. I just want to give him money. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Until God's saying, sow a seed for a harvest. Sow a seed for a harvest. Now, I got to grab a verse real quick here. Let's see. It is Proverbs. Huh. 25:2. Proverbs 25:2. Go there real quick. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of the kings to search it out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of the king to search it out. Search it out. Now watch this. God's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. Pastor, why would he say sow a seed and then not necessarily tell me what it is? He might tell you. But the point of what I'm saying tonight is, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, this is totally wrecking somebody's world right now. God has been instructing you to sow a seed. Wasn't it Brother Jesse that talked about sowing that rifle?
Yeah.
Watch this. Brother Jesse, the planet, talked about somebody giving him a really beautiful rifle with a scope and everything. And every man loves a beautiful rifle and a scope. And every man probably loves 8 or 10 of them. Not necessarily that you have to go shoot them all the time. That's just the sign of a good man. Anyways, this thing was worth a lot of money. And one day, the Holy Spirit instructed him to take that rifle and give it to a man. He said, but Lord, that man has a hunting club. He has every rifle and shotgun that you would need. And he said the Father wouldn't let him off. And just said, sow the seed. Sow the seed. Well, it had been given to him as a gift. And he finally just said, well, I got to obey. You know what? That's what this is all about tonight. I don't know. Somebody besides us, evidently we're here, but somebody besides us right now, God's been encouraging you. I want to encourage you. Watch this. He took that rifle and gave it to that man. And he said the man broke right down and cried. And he said, no one has ever given me a gift. Definitely. No one had ever given him a gift. Because he was so wealthy, he was the one that was always giving gifts. And he said, I don't know, he must have had a rough life as a child or something. But he said, no one had ever given him the gift, and that was the first gift that anybody had ever given him. And here this wealthy, wealthy man broke down and cried and said, thank you, Brother Jesse. Well, wait, what did Brother Jesse do? He sowed a seed that broke loose something for that other guy. I don't remember what Brother Jesse said was the harvest that came back, but of course, you can only imagine what that harvest will be. Because when you break loose a bondage off of somebody else, then you know what that means for you? You get bondage broken loose off of you.
Amen.
When you begin to understand the kingdom, that this is a completely different economy than go to work, get a paycheck, and come home, put it in the bank, and pay your bills. And you realize the economy of the kingdom goes so much farther. I mean, you just think about this statement tonight. The lady built a room and got a son.
Right.
Somebody tonight, you're getting permission by God to go ahead and just follow him and just want the exceeding abundantly above all come to him.
Well, like Dr. Winston, too, when Veronica was looking for a job, she started sewing every kind of way she could. She made soup for the neighbors and was doing yard work and for a job and got an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I forget Dr. Barclay tells a story about sewing a big, God telling him to sew a seat of somebody's airplane in the ministry. I don't remember what the seed was, but that's not important. He sowed a big seed, and he's in Toronto, Canada, and the engine goes on his plane. If you didn't know it, or a portion of the engine, something went. And whatever went was $87,000. All right? And that was back in like the late 90s when $87,000 was a huge chunk of money. And he said, I'm sitting in the hotel room that afternoon going, where in the world am I going to get $87,000? And of course, you know, his staff had told him exactly what it was going to cost. So it was like $87,372.24. And the phone rings in the hotel room. And he's like, I didn't even want to answer. But he said, I answered. And he said, hello. And he said, hi, Mark. This is Ken. You know, Kenneth Copeland. He said, Brother Copeland, what are you calling me for? He goes, well, it took me a little while to find you. But he said, does $87,235.64 mean something to you? It was the exact figure. If your eyes ain't that big around, then they ought to be, because this is what our God does. I've seen the simplest of things in my life produce the most amazing things. Why? Because we're just in obedience to God. Let's keep reading. Oh, my goodness. I am down to verse 7. Matthew 15:7. You hypocrites. That's Jesus talking to the righteous, the religious, not you. Watch. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people will draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Look at what this says. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Do not do that. Chris and Sunday, I got blazing speed over here in my hand, just so you know. Now watch. Verse 9. In vain they worship me. I do not want God to say to me, in vain you are worshiping me. Whatever he says to you, do. Whatever it is. Just whatever he says, do. These people were flapping their lips, but their heart was evil amongst them. They were saying, glory be to God, glory be to God, we're holy, righteous, holy, righteous, holy, righteous. And what was coming out of them was wickedness. And Jesus said, in vain you worship me. Man, that'd be the worst thing in the world you could hear from the Father. Now, we're getting into the story. No, we're almost to the story. Hear and understand, verse 11, it's not what goes in the mouth of a man that defiles a man. At all. His disciples said to him, do you know what the Pharisees were offended when you said this? And Jesus said, I don't really give two flying flips. Or wait, that's what Sam said. Every plant which the Heavenly Father has planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Peter said, explain this to us. And Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that what you eat goes into the belly and out? 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And that's what defiles a man. Listen, you might be confused in your head, but if you don't have wickedness coming out of your heart, then just because your head's confused, you're still good, because what's coming out of your mouth is not coming from a bitter heart.
Right.
Say with me, be bitter. No, be better, not bitter.
Amen.
Be better, not bitter. That's why Jesus said forgive. Watch. Verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. What defiles a man? Murder, adultery, fornication, false witness. Have false witness. God, in Proverbs chapter 6, false witness, an abomination. I've seen whole church boards raise up a false witness against a pastor. And that meant that whole board was an abomination. And Jesus said, in vain they worship me. Proverbs 6 says, he that sows discord among the brethren is an abomination. Let's get to the miracle.
Don't do that.
Let's get back to the miracle. You ready? Wait, I got to stay there. Jesus, what a night are we having? Hey, Eva's back.
Eva, how are you? I'm back to Christ. I have a relationship with God.
Yes, Eva, make sure. Somebody get my email address in there, please. Hi, my fellow American. She's related to Rich Nixon. That was the joke. Sorry. That was a really bad joke, Eva. We're glad to see you back, Eva.
Yes.
Make sure you send me an email so we can communicate back and forth with each other. My wife and I will make sure you understand how to have that relationship with God. And we got a bunch of other women here. We'll get you connected so that you can have a thriving relationship
Amen.
With God. Father, you have heard this daughter of Zion's prayer. We speak it done, and we declare everything that's hindering it gets removed.
Yes. Amen.
And she's just blessed with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, abundantly blessed in every area in her life, and she knows your voice in Jesus' mighty name. We are now in Matthew 15, and we're in verses 19 and 20. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you guys' help over there. Wow, that's awesome. Now watch this. I got to say this. That's why being a scorner is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, he that sows discord amongst the brethren is an abomination. If you don't understand, ask a question. If you still don't understand, ask another question. If you still don't understand, ask another question. Don't stop asking questions until you get the answer that you're looking for, which is peace on the inside. Don't be a scorner and don't sow discord amongst the brethren. Wow. We got the Shunammite woman. We got scribes and Pharisees losing their worship. And now we got the Syrophoenician lady. What a night we're having. And Eva's back. All right, there you go. There you go, Eva. We will. Now we got your email address. We'll get right on this, and we'll help you with God. Isn't that awesome, guys? Japanese. Verse 21, Jesus went from there and departed? Oh, yeah. Come on, Shannon. There's no dumb questions. Watch this. You got to keep asking a question until it's all solved. And you can go, I see it. I see it. Oh, my goodness, what a night we're having.
Sometimes you literally have to hear or even read the verse many times before it, before you get the revelation of it. So don't ever feel bad that you don't get it.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one of the greatest pieces of marriage advice you'll ever have. Everybody listen, this is one of the greatest pieces of marriage advice you'll ever have.
I'm listening.
Is everybody listening? This is one of the greatest pieces of marriage advice you'll ever have. No matter how many times your husband looks at you and says, can you please say it again? I don't get it. Just say it again. He don't get it.
He really doesn't. But it's okay.
Wait, I'll say it one more time. No matter how many times your husband says, I don't get it, but I'm trying, just keep saying it, because sooner or later, the light clicks on in here, and we're like, oh, I got it. Wait. Sometimes, as a wife, you have to look at your mate and say, hold it. I am not getting what you're trying to say to me. Please say it again. And I'm going to tell you something. If you keep it in that conversation that says, wait, I don't get that. Would you say it again? You will never live in offense if you keep your relationships in that place. Well, but yeah, you. No, you got the bad heart when you're going you. That's, you're the one with the bad heart. No, if they're telling you they don't get it, they may not get it. I'm going to tell you right now. At one time, I went to Dr. Barkley about stuff in the church, and I said, Pastor, I don't get this. He's like, all right, well, talk to me. But I did. He goes, he said, I'm like, I'm just looking at him. He goes, you don't get it, do you? I'm like, no. He said a few more things, and I'm like, he goes, you don't get it. I'm like, no. He goes, don't stop studying those verses until you get it. Why? Because Jesus just said over here, every plant which has been planted inside your heart that he didn't plant, it will be uprooted. But you got to keep entering this in. You might be one of the most scornful people that's out there. But you don't want to be. You might find that everything you say is snide. Guess what? Get in this book and work on the love. I'll tell you a story about it. Oh, my goodness. Well, everybody go get your sleeping bag and your jammies out, because we're going to be here till like midnight tonight. I can see it right now. Hang on, Jeff. I'll call you. But wow. I have a man in Michigan who's part of the church in West Bend. He came to me one day and he said, Pastor, I hate people. And I remember saying, yes, you do. You do. He goes, but I don't want to. I said, I know you don't. You have a huge heart. He goes, what am I going to do? I said, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, what do we do for my brother? Give me an answer just like that. Why? Because you seek him for an answer. He's going to give you one. He said, what do I do? I said, here's what you do. Every day, read the proverb of the day. There's 31 proverbs. So there's a proverb that matches the date of every day. Proverbs chapter 1 will be for, you know, number one. Watch this. Hey, love you, Chris. Love you. Thank you for your help, Chris. We love you. I said, and every day read 1 Corinthians love chapter. And I said, read it right out loud. Read the proverb out loud and read 1 Corinthians 13 out loud. Do it every day. Watch this. He began to do it. Yeah. That's good, Becca. He began to do it, and he came back. He said, Pastor, I got that down. I'm starting to do it every day. I said, all right, let's add one more thing to it. Let's get you reading about 5 Psalms a day. Proverbs is your relationship between you and man. And Psalms is in your relationship with God. Good night, Velma. We love you. We bless Velma and Joy and Mikey and Claire and your dog, if you got one, and your beautiful carnations and your tulips and all the pretty flowers in your yard. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. That man did that, and that man changed. I watched it with my own eyes. He did not like people. Matter of fact, it was bigger than he didn't like people. He hated people. He literally hated people. And we changed. We are now getting this lady's daughter free from a demon. Are you ready? Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. I want you to see this. Look at 23. He answered her not. Jesus didn't answer a word. And his disciples came and said, will you please do something with this woman? Send her away, for she cries out after us. He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus knew his assignment and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord. There's the number one thing he had to say was Lord. Lord. Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to a little dog. And she said, yes, Lord. What was she calling him? Lord. She was calling on redemption. She was calling on reconciliation. She was reaching forward into the days after the cross when the Gentiles would be able to receive. And when she called him Lord, she reached into Jesus' life and pulled a miracle out before her time was to even receive one.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, verse 28, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Some of you, it would do you good to go to Walmart and buy you one of these books. 3 subjects, 150 pages, notebook, and start recording in here what it is you're asking God for. If you don't write it down, are you serious about it? If you don't ask for the exceedingly, how can he bring it to you? Because he's a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on anybody. That's why tonight when you guys saw me talking to my friend Jeff, I'm not joking about that jet thing. I have a daughter in California and a son in Michigan. And that is a long ways between each of them. Pastor, how in the world are you going to get a jet? I don't know. But my father owns everything on the whole earth, and he's got one for me. because he wants to do the exceeding abundant above all. And I have an inheritance that comes from heaven that doesn't pass away. And besides that, when somebody moves like Mike and Shannon, I can jump in the jet and fly home and move you. Pastor, I don't need a jet. I need a house. In the name of Jesus, may you get a house. Ask him for it. And don't find something that's run down. Go find something that you really like. Go find something you really like. Because he wants to do exceeding abundantly above. And even if you say, I don't even think I know if I'm qualified for this, or God will even give it to me, use this one and then go back there to 2 Kings to my woman and say, Lord, show me what seed I gotta sow. Watch this thing go. Watch what God does. Why? Because he wants to do the exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Do you think Jesus wanted that little girl free from a demon? Yes, he did. But Jesus knew his assignment. And he knew he could not go with that woman to her house because that was not his assignment. He was in his assignment where the Father told him to be that day because he said, I only do what I see my Father do. And then guess what happened? The lady showed up to where Jesus was and said, I need a miracle. And now what? The lady, Jesus, it's not your time. And she's like, it don't matter. I can get a little crumb from you, and I got more than enough. And neither the mom nor Jesus was the daughter, but when she got back, the daughter was no longer demon-possessed. And Jesus said, these kind only come up by prayer and fasting about the epileptic demon. And obviously Jesus had prayed and fasted and consecrated to God because when he spoke to that demon, it came up. And if you got something in your life that you find is really hindering you and it's not coming out, then get to praying and fasting and start giving up the things you got to give up to get. Wait. Start consecrating yourself to God to see the answers come to you. God don't care about pizza and hamburgers. God wants to know if he has your heart. I look at this. I see Rebecca. She's standing in the gap for her family. I see Mary Pastorek standing in the gap for her family. I see Oma Tony standing in the gap for her family. I see Christine Barkley standing in the gap for her and her family. I see Shannon. I see Phyllis. We got over here, Eva and Sunday and Chris. I see you guys standing in the gap for your family. Velma. Yeah, Dan and Gwen. I see it. Who else is here? Brother John Wayner. Becca Chapman. I see you guys standing in the gap for your family. And this is what I want you to know. God is doing exceeding abundantly above all you can ask them. God is.
Yeah.
So tonight, I know I'm speaking this word tonight specifically because somebody needed an answer from God.
Yeah.
I want to ask God if the world in Jesus is quantum. Well, as I've always said, if I don't know what that means, I'm going to tell you. And I don't know what that means, but we have written it down, and we're going to get an answer for that.
Amen.
I want to ask God if the world in Jesus is quantum. Well, I guarantee you this, if you ask God that, he will give you an answer. And we're going to find out what that means, and we'll give you an answer. Now, let's bring this to a close, I think. What a night. There's enough here to teach on all week long. Now, very specifically, somebody tonight or somebody's either live or will listen later. God's been speaking to you about sowing a gift, sowing a seed, blessing a person. How do I say it? Doing something for somebody.
Yeah.
This is what we have to say. You got to do it. It's like that. It's like that guy that was in Las Vegas gambling. And God said, you call that preacher and give him your house right now tonight. Yeah, but Pastor, that's just preacher. You ever heard God do that for somebody that ain't a preacher? Yeah. Yeah. That one guy, Dr. Winston, discipled in prison. Joliet, which is the worst in Illinois, got out of that prison, got a job, got a better job, bought a business, bought another business, had five businesses, and he shows up at church one night. And when Dr. Winston is done speaking on a Wednesday night, the man stands up and says, can I say something? Dr. Winston's like, oh boy. But he follows the leading of the Spirit and says, yeah. And the guy starts out with, I was in Joliet prison. And if you're a man of God ever standing in front saying, what is I going to say? You're now spotting bullets because of that. And the man said, I studied what you brought to the prison. And when I got out, I got a job, then I got a better one, then I got a better, and I got a business, and he had five businesses. And he said, my wife and I live in a seven-bedroom home, and we all drive Mercedes and Lexuses.
Oh.
And he said, I even have one of those kajuzi things on the back porch.
Yeah.
Wait, the man said kajuzi.
Yeah.
He couldn't even speak the right English. And you know what, Dr. Winston found out? He couldn't even read and write. But he listened to the man of God and began to work the principles of the kingdom. And all of a sudden, miracle after miracle after miracle began to happen for him. Pastor, are you taking an offer?
No.
I don't know. Wait, I didn't come here to receive an offering. If God's telling you to sow a seed, you better sow it. Because that's what tonight's all about. Matter of fact, I'm really focused on trying to get out what's on that page of my notes and where God's sending me. But on the inside of me, I'm saying, hold it. I don't know about everybody else, but what are you saying to Leanne about sowing? Because I ain't missing nothing. I've seen this happen too many times. Where you sow and 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 you sow and
it is really nervous.
And well, we both sowed our motorcycles when we came here. We sowed them as a seed. And thought about it, sowed it as a seed, called it done. Amen. Hallelujah. There we go. This is where this is what it's all about. Here am I, Lord.
Send me.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Yes, sir. Luke chapter 5. Audrey Van Gessel. I'm not reading this chapter. Luke chapter 5. Jesus is on the beach. Said, dude, I need to use your boat to preach from, because all them people going to try to push on me, and I need to teach them first. Can I use your boat? And Peter said, yeah. And Jesus must have said, throw on your nets, Because when Jesus was done teaching, he said, thanks for the use of your boat. Let's catch some fish. Watch this. Peter said, with all due respect, sir, I have fished all night and caught nothing. And he said, however, probably because of what he just heard Jesus teach, he said, however, I'll throw down a net. And every fish in the Sea of Galilee tried to get in Peter's net that night, that day. And the harvest was so big from sowing the seed of his boat that he had to call his friends. Wouldn't you love to see a harvest so big that you had to call your friends to help you get it? Now, ain't nobody here telling you what to sow. I'm not even telling you, I'm not even receiving an offer. I'm just saying when you're willing and obedient, Brother Mike said it Saturday night, when you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. I had a young man say to me today, would you like to buy my house? And I'm like, I don't know. I went and drove around his house and said, what are you doing, Lord? Is that you? Is that him? How's this work? Why? Say this with me. My father is trying to bless me. Every day.
Every day.
And I encourage you to do whatever he gives you to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's pray. This is one of the most interesting messages I've ever been in. So come back between Tuesday and Friday, and we're going to preach all of this in a piece-by-piece part. This is probably going to be our word for all week long. Jesus reconciled that Syrophoenician woman in the matter of one statement. What did he give her? He gave her forgiveness of sin, and he gave her healing of her daughter in one word. And what was that one word? She called him Lord.
Yeah.
And she reached forward in time to after the cross, and she pulled back to her Lord. And God blessed her life. And her daughter was delivered from a demon. Ready? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I can tell you're talking to people about all kinds of things. Tonight you said to somebody to bake some cookies for somebody. I can see it. One of these ladies, you told them to bake some cookies and take them to somebody's house. Well, this is what the community of faith always says. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. And so, Lord, everything you've got designed for tonight, we receive at our place, and we just look around and say, what are you doing with me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, we can ask or think. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. There's still something I got to say. And I'm trying to close it, but he's still got something he wants to say. Father, in the name of Jesus, beyond our human understanding, we go to the realm of the Spirit. Wow. Endolomare va la malsikete. Wow. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God. John, I need a John's pizza. No, it's wait. It's not Papa John's. What's the one that's by, what's the one?
Little Caesars? Domino's?
No. Papa John's by the, by the hotel and the Moose place?
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah. All right. I don't need anything, but thanks, brother. But if you're buying pizza and you're coming over to eat it, well, then all y'all come. You hear now? This is what the Holy Spirit said to me when I was praying. I need to read this, Luke chapter 5. We can't, here's the deal. When the hungry Howies. Caesars. Now we start talking pizza and everybody's going to order pizza. Yeah. Okay, now look, I want you to see something. The Holy Spirit has said, I'm not done. The best thing you can ever do is rushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh, you're in bed? Okay.
John, we're fine.
We're buying pizza and coming to you then. No. No. We're staying here. You stay there. Here we go. So, Holy Spirit, speak what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
I will not rush you. Because there's somebody here tonight that's going to get a serious miracle in your life. I don't know what it is. Well, it's like in that prayer. One of you ladies taking a batch of cookies to somebody's house. Could you imagine that God had you bake a batch of cookies and you take it to somebody and then he sets you free from something you've been wanting to be free from forever? I just made homemade pizza. Oh, you just make it. I was going to say. Just take the phone with you and set it up in the kitchen. Everybody start eating, all right? Somebody's hanging on here tonight. And God is doing something here tonight. So let's read the verses. Here we go. Luke 5, verse 1, down through 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he saw a boat standing by the lake, But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Number three, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him from within inside the boat. Jesus was bold.
I guess.
If he would put out a little bit of the land, and he sat down, and he taught the multitude from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Peter answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But, nevertheless, at your word, he had just heard Jesus preaching, using the water as a megaphone. At your word, we'll let down the net. Jesus said nets, Peter said net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, and they began to sink. Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, those fishing boats were still going at the end of Jesus' ministry. So they didn't just dump the fish on the shore and then walk away. They had people that worked for them that took care of those fish and took care of Mrs. Simon, Peter, and evidently ran the business while they were out doing the work with Jesus, because when Jesus was crucified, Peter said, I'm going back fishing, and everybody went with him. And the fishing vessel was still there, because when Jesus said, throw your nets on the other side, they caught 150 fish. Now watch. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, and they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. That was the story of them coming to Jesus. I need to get a different story. Mark chapter 1, I thought one of these other ones told the story to Mark 1. No, it's just Luke. Luke's the only one that tells the story of Luke is the only one that tells the story of Peter catching a great drought of fish. Now, this is what I don't know. I'm just obeying God, so that's how it works. God very specifically plan that works in this book. Oh my goodness, isn't that something? Second Corinthians chapter 9. Here we are. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about putting an offering together for him before he gets there, because that way when they get there, it's already taken care of. Now watch this. Verse 6. And this is 6:15. But this I say, he who sows bountifully will also reap, no, he who sows sparingly will also reap soon. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart by the direction of Almighty God. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 7 is where a lot of religious people say, I should just be a cheerful giver, and there's nothing else that should ever happen to you. If he says give, don't ever expect anything. But guess what? In that very set of verses, Jesus is, or the Holy Spirit is teaching through Paul, when you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. To say, it doesn't matter, it does matter. God has a financial system that he violates for nobody. His system works the way he set it up. And if you just get into it, you get to create your own economy. You violate the system, and then you just suck in the world. My. Verse 8. Look at 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. As soon as you sow that seed, whichever one of you ladies it was, let's take a batch of cookies. And God is able to make all grace abound on a batch of cookies. Can you imagine the delivering power of a batch of cookies?
Yeah.
I am amazed at this teaching. Like, I don't know if I, you can
yeah,
tell.
So look at the
I am amazed. Go ahead.
He's going to tell Christine, look at the seed she's sowing with these packages. Their packages she's making for these women. This is serious seed. The cookies are serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch. Hey, God is able to make, I'm sorry, I'm missing what you're saying. I'm talking about what you're talking about.
Christine is making care packets for the women's shelter.
Oh.
And that's a serious seed that she's sowing there.
Yep.
Towards that new house, Chris.
Watch God.
Amen.
Watch God. When you sow a seed towards somebody that needs to be delivered, mm-hmm. and they get delivered from the seed of deliverance, you're going to get delivered from your seed that caused deliverance to come to that person that needed deliverance. Here's the verse. Verse 8 is the verse. Watch this. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, that's a lot of all, and every in that verse. Now, the number one thing everybody's got to get in this whole night. Watch this. In this whole night. Verse 7. As each man purposes
in his
heart,
so
let him give. Now watch. God is never going to ask you to do something that goes outside of his system. He's not going to do that. So that you, there might be sometimes you're like, I don't know whether this I'd be doing this or not. Is this of God? Well, if it is of compassion and you're not moving outside of God's system, then you're going to be okay because you're sowing a seed. Remember this. When you're doing something for someone else and you're helping someone who is in need, God never reveals the identity of the person in need because he never wants to bring shame to someone who's
right.
in need.
Right.
So your almsgivings, you should keep to yourself. The seed you sow into a ministry, that's no big deal. People can know about that. That right hand not knowing what your left is doing is talking about almsgiving, when you got to protect the person that you're giving to. Because you don't ever want to violate that with anybody. Ever. Ever.
Right.
Because if you violate that person's personal respect and you're bringing shame because you told a story about them, well, then what did anybody gain out of that? That's why I'm careful what we let be told here, because we've got to be careful not to bring shame on any person that's here. Am I making sense?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Eight. 2 Corinthians 6:8-9. God is able to make all grace abound to you. You obeying God is what makes grace abound. And you will always take all grace, having all sufficiency in all things, will have an abundance for every good work. Five superlatives there. As it is written, He, God, has dispersed abroad. He, God, has given to the poor. He, God, has given you His righteousness. 10. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower, you got the seed. And bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed. Remember, seed and tithe are two different things.
Right.
Seed and tithe are two different things. Your tithe is in the storehouse. Your seed is where He tells you to sow it. Make sure you keep that right. And increase, I love verse 10, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Watch this. When you do this, it increases the fruits of your righteousness, which is going to put a crown on your head that you're going to be able to put before Jesus. How beautiful is that? All right. 11. While you're enriched in everything. Now here's another superlative. Enriched in everything for all liberality. The Holy Spirit is really seriously speaking through Paul here with a bunch of superlatives. Causes thanksgiving through us to God. Look at 12. Study these verses closely. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding with many thanksgivings to God. When you do this, God is going to be blessed. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for us, who long for us because of the exceeding grace of God in us. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift in us. Wow. Wow. Your tithe and your seed is your seed. And obey God and walk with Him and watch Him. Give all kinds of connections today. Huh. Somebody help me with the widow of two mites. You guys find that verse. I'm going to be closing in prayer. Yeah, we find that verse. The widow with two mites. Watch it. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't have $1,000 like some people to give. No, no. Don't ever do that with God, ever. Don't. I mean, you guys heard Brother Mike talk about having $30 in his hand and God saying, give it to that lady. And when he handed it to her, he had already heard her say she needed $400. And $400 showed up in her hand when he handed it out, just like the fishes in the...
1-4.
Luke 21:1-4 is Jesus standing at the temple, looking at people as they gave their offering. Luke 21:1-4. I'm not even turning there. I can't see him crying. Cry, brother. He cleanses the soul. It's good. Just let God minister to you right now. Jesus' mighty name. He keeps saying, I'll get up and bring it to you.
We don't need anything. We need you to sleep.
Wait, yeah, we don't need anything.
Rest. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your willingness.
Wait, I need a Dairy Queen, but I know they're closed, so, you know. Love you, John. And I know you mean that, but I thank you, brother. We just got done going to the grocery store, and the car's full of gas. God's blessed us, man. God's blessed us abundantly. But watch this. It all comes down to just daily obedience. It's not a big... Don't ask God to... You say, I'm going to give you $1,000 today, and then I'm not going to do anything else for you for another 3 months. No. Let God lead you into obedience every day, even if it is just walking out in the parking lot and saying hi to somebody at the apartment complex. Why? Because it's those simple acts that are amazing. It's like tonight with Eva Castro. I don't have any idea if Jesus is quantum. I don't even know what that means. I know Jesus is Lord. I don't know what that means. But I guarantee you, I'm going to find out what that means, because that's a question that's going to be a... You need Taco Bell?
Amen, brother. It's only 2 hours.
Brother, we're not going to get to Taco Bell before they close, because it's 2 hours away. Now, if you need Taco John, we'll bring it to you.
We'll do a day trip one time. Why not?
Now, just let God lead you simply. And just do what he says. Just do what he says. And just watch. Just watch. Just hallelujah. Do it, Jesus. Just do it. And all of a sudden you'll find God using you every day. And you'll be like, this is the best life I have ever lived all day long. We say it every day right here. Dan and I do. We are living an amazing life. So that he tells you to bake a batch of cookies, make a homemade pizza. I don't know. Whatever he gives you to do. You watch God. You watch God do a big thing. It'll be a blessing to you. I was on a lift ride one time here in Williston. And I get the guy to where he's going. He's like, will you please stay here so I can have a ride back to my house? And he's an African. I'm like, sure, I can stay here. And he said, will you please come upstairs with me? And I said, why do you need me to go upstairs? We're in a pretty rough apartment place. I'm thinking, why do you need me to go up there? He said, well, I don't want these guys to take advantage of me.
Me either, so let's not go up there.
And thinking, Jesus, he said, this is what the Holy Spirit said, you'll be all right. I'm like, all right, this is interesting. So we go up there, knock on the door, 2 young kids in there, obviously getting kicked out of their apartment because everything's packed up and they're leaving. And we go in the back, bedroom, and he said, I got this. He's looking at a TV. He said, this is the TV I gotta get rid of. And I'll sell it for $50. And the remote turned it on, went through the channels. He's like, well, looks like it works. And the guy goes, but if you take that one, you have to take this one. And my friend looks at me and says, do you need a TV? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so. I'm like, does it work? He goes, yeah, it works. So he hands him the $50. And we walk out with two TVs. We get in the car and he puts his in. He goes, I'm like, how much are you, man? You paid $50. I give you 25. He goes, oh, no. No, he said, you can just have that. Thanks for bringing me over here. Now, you ready? Here's why I told you that. For the first 8 months, 10 months of the program, mm-hmm. that TV was my second monitor.
Yeah. It
was my second monitor. Free of charge. I didn't even know I needed a monitor. Didn't even know it. But I was being helpful to this man. And then when I'm upstairs, I got a monitor that I could use. Have we told enough stories? All right. You ready? Let's pray one time. The Holy Spirit's ready to go home. He's already home. Father, in Jesus' name. I'm not in a rush. Lord, I know some of these people have to go to sleep. That's all right. I have to obey you, Father, and I will obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it is on each of these people. We understand the tithe. We understand the offering. We understand the seed sown. We understand almsgiving. And we function as you've instructed us, as a loving Father, taking us to where you see we can be. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that there's never been a time when you were push and pull on people in their money. You were gently leading us to take the next step, just like the lady. I believe we should feed this man. I believe we should feed this man. Come and feed you. I think we should build him an upper room. And then she receives a baby. And we thank you for it. Lord, every person within the sound of my voice, I speak a supernatural, infallible proof
Amen.
In their lives that solidifies your voice in their ear, inside their being. And every one of us walk in the supernatural blessing of Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hey, Dan Collins with us.
Hi, Dan.
Dan and Gwen, we love you guys. I named your name already tonight. We had an interesting start, but that's all right. All right. We're going to do communion one more time. I'm instructed to do that, so here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. One person said, Pastor, do you try to go long? I don't try to go long at all. I've just learned this a long time ago. I'm going to obey God no matter what. Because when you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And guess what? I like eating the good. I don't like eating that nasty stuff. I like eating the good of the land. I do. I received from the Lord, which I delivered to you. Good night, Wilma. Love you. Thank you for all your help, ma'am. You are a serious blessing. You and all your children. All your family. We bless you, guys. I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." I love this verse in the communion. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup with the grape juice in it is the new covenant of my blood." Those disciples didn't even know what he's talking about. "As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." 26. "As often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes." Verse 28. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup." But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Love has been perfected in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and torment those with it. In Jesus' name. There's no fear in love. No fear. Now we're going to pray a prayer of salvation, so you know you're right with God. A prayer of rededication, and maybe you've been away from God. And a prayer of hallelujah. Look what God has done in our life. If that's the prayer you're praying. Pray this prayer with me. And when we're finished, you will be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
And according to John chapter 1.
According to John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
And I receive you.
And I receive you.
You give me the power.
You give me the power.
The right.
The right.
The privilege.
And the privilege.
To be a child of God.
To be a child of God.
I enter in through the door, Jesus.
I enter in through the door, Jesus.
And I am your child.
And I am your child.
Take all my sin.
Take all my sin.
There's nothing I can do.
There's nothing I can do.
I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling my life every day.
Filling my life every day.
And I thank you.
And I thank you for it.
I always pause because that is an amazing experience, the righteousness of God. Ready? Say this. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. There it is. You're a child of God. This is the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here with us. In that one prayer, you literally went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You literally went from your sin, when no human has the ability to understand how to get over it, because you don't have any redemptive value inside your own life. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness, and he totally obliterates all your sin, does not impute it against you, and you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Can't lose. You can't lose. We just have to get an understanding. Now watch it. You also become a child of God, adopted into the family. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And Jesus is your elder brother. God is your father. And your father wants to be one with you. All of that in one prayer. Isn't that something? The kingdom of God is amazing. You should have experienced something on the inside changing. And it should happen every time you're here. My pastor, I'm too busy. I'm going through the action tonight, but my mind's on too many things. Slow your mind down and say, Jesus, I received from you. They put my email address and website in there so you can contact us and we can help you walk with God. I got a lot of good folks here. Somebody here will be able to relate with you and help you walk with God. Now, watch this. We're going to bless the elements and we'll receive them together in Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my
emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord. And Hebrews states, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You despised the shame. And you sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I'm a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for
and
it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word. Of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life. And there's no more condemnation. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be
the
glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Let's receive the juice together. Let's sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. 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 It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, guys, the only way we can be here any longer is to stay longer.
Well, that's one way,
yeah. And, you know, it ain't about how long it is. It's about, did we get said what the Father wanted us to said? Because it's in His will that we have to abide. And it's like Jesus said, or Jesus' mother said, she said, whatever He says to you, do it. Record it. Mary. You're awesome, Mary. Love you. You're one of those people, Mary. We love you, and we're blessed by you being a part of us. We are very much blessed by being a part of us. Did you guys put verses in anywhere? Man, there's so many comments I didn't see. I hope if you had a comment in here,
Shannon did a long time ago.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just looking for him. Thank you, Mary. Bless you, fellas. John Wayner, love you too. Dan Cottle, love you. Rebecca Smith, Wilma Tony, Mike and Shannon Tony, Mary Pasterick, Christine Barkley, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight, Christine. Everybody with us. Jeff and Kelly, Noah. Please keep them in your prayers, guys. Please keep them in your prayers. It's never an easy thing when you lose your mom. What about? What'd you say?
Mary Sunday's prayer.
All right.
strength there and no movement yet.
Father, in Jesus' name, we bless Mary's son. Whatever the strange feeling is, we declare the understanding comes. And we declare, get a hold of your mama. She needs to hear you.
Amen.
We speak it now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of the laborers that are speaking to your kids, they come to the understanding of God.
Amen.
Becca Chapman, bless you, man. You're such a blessing to us. Melissa Thorsby, we bless you tonight. Saw you. Kelly Delker, Robert Mulderman, Audrey Van Gessel.
Yes.
Anybody else? Julian Mbamala. Julian, be healed in your eyes, in your thyroid, in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Well, that's all I got. And until we see you again, this is what we have to say.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.